Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
It is Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics and theology, how to explain and defend the Catholic faith. Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And the things that I want to talk about, it's interesting, maybe you're like this, that there'll be a topic or a subject you're really fascinated by. You'll dive into it, haha, pun for the topic of today's episode, and you'll really stick with it for a while, and then suddenly you'll just lose attention to it and forget about it. And then months or years will go by and you'll say, hey, I want to read about that again. I remember when I was really into that. There's certain subjects like that. There's certain people who are like that. I'll give you an example. I like listening to Dave Ramsey, but I think I listen to him usually for like a month. And then I've heard enough because there's only so many ways you can help people get out of debt. But I like his rants more because he's just funny. He's just like your dad that just has to be like, you know, you're going to get into debt on credit card to get airplane miles. You're trying to fly to the freaking moon already. Unbelievable. I'm just like, oh, dad, I like hearing you angry at people. That's not me. But I'll listen and then I'll forget about it and be like, oh, I haven't listened to Dave Ramsey in a while. I'll go back to that. Or there's different subjects. I'll read about them. I'll get obsessed with them. Then I'll drop them. I'll think to myself, wow, I used to really read about this. I'm going to read about this again and watch a bunch of YouTube videos about this again. And one of those things that I am fascinated by is the recreational sport of cave diving. So on the podcast a while ago, I talked about PSAs that are terrifying. And one of these was a public service announcement, a warning training video, a safety video for cave diving. So cave diving, so there's open water scuba diving. You go out with your scuba tank. Even that has risks associated with it. I've seen videos online of scuba divers panicking. There's this one video, oh, so scary, is a woman that she's with a group of divers and she starts to have an uncontrolled descent where they're done with their dive. They're starting to all dive, you know, swim to the surface. And you see her struggling. She's just moving her arms like she's trying to climb a ladder that's not there. Like she's struggling to try to go up, but she's negatively buoyant at that point. And she starts sinking, whether maybe she ran out of air or she had a malfunction or she didn't do something right with her flotation device, because scuba divers wear these wings, they wear these elements on them to help control their buoyancy. And she starts sinking and they go down and swim down and try to get her and help her and, you know, fix her buoyancy so it's positive buoyancy. And she starts panicking and she takes the regulator out of her mouth and her eyes are as wide as saucers. You can see in this video. And she is just struggling. No regulator in her mouth. She's trying to swim up and get up. And the other divers are grabbing the regulator and trying to put it back into her mouth. And then eventually they're going up and up and you know, my chest is getting tight watching this video. And then she surfaces and she's like moaning and she is fine. But if those other divers had not been there, if she had been by herself, she would have died. No doubt in my mind that she would have died, because she was in a full-blown state of panic, unable to comprehend the situation around her or to save herself in that regard. So I think that what might have happened was that she had a failure to purge maybe her regular. Now, I'm not a diver. I'm probably getting this wrong. If you're a scuba diver, leave a comment at trenthornpodcast.com. She might have had some problem with the regulator, where sometimes, from what I read from divers, is that if you hyperventilate with a regulator, you will not get enough oxygen coming out of it. The regular thing in your mouth that goes to your air tank, your gas, as the scuba divers would call it. And so if you're breathing too heavy, you're actually not getting enough air and you'll feel like you're actually asphyxiating, because you're not getting enough air through the regulator. The regulator is designed for you to breathe normally through it. And so she might have thought she was sinking, and she's hyperventilating, and she can't get up. Now, it's not time to panic. Yes, it's not good if you start sinking. Now, unless you've got like hundreds and hundreds of feet below you, and you'll risk going too deep. If you're in an area where it's actually somewhat shallow, you know, you're okay. You still have your gas, you're breathing, and you can fix your buoyancy. You can keep breathing and then go back up. But she was panicking and then thinking she can't breathe, rips the regulator out and goes back to instinct of trying to rip everything out and just clawing at the surface to get up without ditching her weights, her dive weights, or everything else. So imagine that, though. Imagine panicking and you're not out in open water and you can't just swim up and surface and be safe, but you're in a cave underwater. And if you swim up, you hit rocks and there's no safe place to go. That's why recreational cave diving is so dangerous as a, well, it's dangerous even for professionals, but it is ludicrously dangerous when untrained people try to do it. And every year there are a dozen or so fatalities that are recorded of divers, and usually it's scuba divers, open water scuba divers, people who are not trained in cave diving. In places like Florida, this happens a lot. There's a lot of underwater caves there, and they're beautiful. The water is really crystal clear. You're in these, sometimes they're small caves, and sometimes they open up these giant caverns. They're like underwater cathedrals, and it's amazing. And so before I get more into cave diving and why I'm obsessed with this, the reason I want to talk about cave diving is because I want to talk about this documentary that came out in 2021 called The Rescue, about the Tham Luang cave rescue. So it's an amazing, miraculous rescue where cave divers are in action doing what they do best. So that's what I want to talk about. But before I talk about that, I need to talk a bit more about just how dangerous cave diving can be, all right, so you understand everything that's involved in it, because it was so instrumental in this rescue. And you have people that go in there and they think that they're just fine. And then they don't realize all the ways that they can die. The most common way is they get lost. They go in there, they kick up a bunch of silt because they haven't learned how to flick their fins in a proper way to prevent silt outs. And they try to turn around and they can't see where to go, because what was once crystal clear water is now filled with silt that will not settle for probably weeks or months in that cave system. And they can't find their way out. Or if they don't silt out, they don't place a guide wire. They don't place a line. And they try to go back and they get lost on their way back out and they run out of air. Or they go in with one dive light and the light fails and they're in pitch black darkness, can't find their way out. Or they run out of, they have a free-flowing regulator and they have a gas leak and they don't realize it until it's too late and they're too far in the cave and they can't possibly make it out with the gas that they have in their tanks. So, or there's so many different ways. Or another one, they could go too deep in a cave. And they're going down deep, and they think, they don't realize how deep they're going, and they have narcosis. Nitrogen builds up in their bloodstream, and it creates intoxication, and they're basically a drunk person, and they run out of gas, and they die. So many ways. You won't catch me down there. I am fine with jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai. I like, when I'm in trouble, I can just sit down, and I'm in a safe place where I can breathe, you know? And so the reason I'm talking about this cave diving so much is that it was instrumental in the rescue of these boys in Tham Luang, this cave complex in a province of Thailand, in the Chiang Rai province of Thailand. This took place between June 23rd and July 10th of 2018. So over the course of 18 days, these boys were trapped there. And the story, it is an amazing miracle that, and you've probably heard about the Thai miracle cave rescue. There is a documentary about it called The Rescue on National Geographic that I highly recommend. One of the best documentaries that I've ever seen. And thankfully, they rescued all of the boys and their coach safely from this cave. And it is absolutely amazing to me, especially as someone who has a hobby of just reading about cave diving and how difficult and dangerous it is, that they were able to get these boys out of there. So this is your homework. You got to watch this documentary if you haven't seen it. The Rescue. You know, just look up Thailand cave documentary, but you should be able to find it. So it's called, well, actually, let me bring it up here to make sure that you get the right one. Yeah, it's just called The Rescue. It's from 2021, directed by Elizabeth Chai, Vasarhelyi, and Jimmy Chin. So The Rescue, 2021. It's just amazing. So to set the situation, what took place here in this cave complex, you have these 12 boys and their coach. They were exploring this cave complex. It starts to flood from monsoon rain. They get driven to the back of the caves, and they're like a mile and a half away from the cave entrance with flooded caves and caverns and crawl spaces between them and the entrance. And so they're trapped there. People know that they were in the caves. Divers go in June 24th to look for them, and a lot of people think that they're probably just going to find the bodies. And so they go and they search, and it takes them several days. So they started, I think, on June 24th, and then later, I want to say that it was July 2nd, that they actually found the team and found them on this rock outcrop, and that they were alive. They were very hungry, but they were alive. But they were in a weakened condition, because in this part of the cave that they're in, the oxygen levels were decreasing. So they're running out of time, and they're trying to figure out, okay, they're a mile and a half into this flooded cave. how are we going to get them out of here? And the British cave divers where they located them worked with the Thai government and the Thailand Navy SEALs to try to figure out a plan. And sitting around trying to think about it, it is a logistical nightmare to figure out, well, how are you going to do that? So diving was not actually the first option that was being proposed, because diving, especially cave diving, as I've just shared with you, is an incredibly dangerous and difficult thing to do. And how are you going to do that with a bunch of 12-year-olds, many of which don't even know how to swim at all? So they thought, okay, maybe we could drill a rescue shaft up above through the limestone to get to them. But they did a geological survey, and that just wasn't going to work. They weren't able to drill a shaft big enough to get down to them. So they thought, okay, maybe we could drill air holes, and we could wait until the monsoon season is over in a few months, and then get the boys out when the water level is naturally receded in the cave, and divers could go and just bring them food and water. But they thought the idea of doing that probably wasn't going to work. You could just imagine being stuck in there for months at a time. There was worries that the oxygen levels were going to deplete anyways, that the sanitary conditions would fall apart, that what happens if one of these kids gets infections, you get sick in there. It's just something that they didn't think, if they waited, that they were all probably going to die anyways of hypoxia or sickness or exposure, hypothermia, even if you bring in supplies to them. And you're also risking more divers trying to go in and out of these caves, you know, just doing that. So then they thought, okay, maybe we can try to just dive them out. Let's teach them basic diving skills and try to bring them out. But as I said, remember what I told you about that one scuba diver who panicked, all right? In that episode, you can see, just if you look up on YouTube, scuba diver panics, one of the first that comes up, that her regulator, she's not able to breathe the air through it. And the first instinct is to rip it out and to swim up to the surface. I got to swim up. I got to get out of here. And you can't reason with this person because they're in a full-blown panic. Now, that turned out okay in that situation because it was open water. The other divers get this woman, get her up to the surface, and she's fine. But, and she is a trained scuba diver. She's actually trained as a scuba diver, and she still ends up panicking. There was a part in the rescue where some of the rescue workers in the cave were trapped. Some of the rescue workers got trapped, and the British cave divers tried to get them out by sharing their oxygen with them. And these rescue workers, these Thai volunteers, they started to panic and thrash and fight with the rescuers. They barely got those guys out of there alive, and they only had to swim a few feet with them, sharing air from a scuba tank. How are you going to get a 12-year-old kid a mile and a half through an underwater cave system, breathing through a scuba tank, without him panicking? You can't do it. It can't be done. If they panic, they'll die in taking them through in that way. And so there was a thought, you know, what are we going to do? And I'm going to tell you what they did, but you still got to watch the documentary to believe it for yourself, to see it in action. So these divers worked with, they had friends who were physicians, and they said, all right, what if we sedated these children? I think they gave them, it might have been ketamine, I'm not sure, but they gave them a cocktail of sedatives and other drugs to keep them asleep, and then brought in gear for scuba divers to ferry them out one by one. And so this is truly amazing to me what they did. That they sedated each of the kids, and they had to give them all kinds of sedatives. For example, they had to give them an anti-saliva medication, because if they're sedated and they're not conscious, the anti-saliva medication prevents saliva from building up in their mouths, because this doctor said they could end up drowning in their own saliva if you sedate them for an hour and a half in this way and you take them in with scuba gear through these tanks. They could just end up drowning and convulsing in their own saliva. So they have to keep their saliva from producing in their mouth. You know, I'm producing saliva right now talking about this. And so they do that, this sedative, and they had to train the divers ferrying them out to take them to a dry spot halfway through, re-inject them with the same formula, and then continue on. They brought in negative pressure face masks for these kids to help them to breathe, a full face mask that had negative pressure so that it would prevent, because what do? The mask could leak. You know, how do you keep them? They're sedated, but they're breathing, right? You can't just give them a scuba regulator. They're not going to breathe through it properly. What if they start breathing through their nose? Then they'll asphyxiate and they'll die. So they got them a full face mask with negative pressure to keep the water out, but you still had multiple divers there escorting with each kid to move them through these tight passages, and they tie their hands behind them, they tie them up, and even one of their divers said it felt like euthanasia tying them up and putting them under the water like that. But then they move them through. And there was one part of the document that really stuck out to me. They knew this was a daring plan. They weren't sure if it was going to work. And they had 13 body bags waiting in case the plan failed for every single one of them. And they had a van waiting outside for these British cave divers. If the plan failed and everybody died, they had a van waiting nearby to take them on back roads to the British embassy to get them out of the country, because they were worried that like a mob would form and want them dead instead of going with another plan, like waiting for the monsoon season to end, for example. But they go and do it. You got to watch the documentary just to see it for yourself. It's really amazing. Every single one of those kids and their coach survived. The rescue was accomplished. Unfortunately, two rescue divers did perish, one during the rescue and one, I think, from an infection they got during the rescue operation. They died like a year later. But even still, seeing all of this, I mean, trained cave divers even die every year in caves just because things can go wrong. Just if the right amount of things go wrong in that situation, you are out of luck. You're having a bad day now. Just sometimes there's nothing you can do. But I think that was really a great example of divine providence, that God heard the prayers of those parents and that community, even if they weren't directed to him, he heard them. And they were assuredly answered providentially, and having the right people, the right equipment, and the right plan to get those kids out of there. So definitely recommend, if you want a great documentary to watch, The Rescue 2021 on the Tham Luang Cave Rescue would be something I highly recommend. And there's also some great, there's a great YouTube channel called Dive Talk. These two divers, they're cave divers. They give commentary on a lot of this kind of stuff. I would definitely recommend them if you want to look at something that's really entertaining and learn about this subject. So, hey, I hope this is helpful for you guys. Thank you so much, and I hope you have a very blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.